Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemechek in the studio, and we are going to kind of take a different tack today and give you a little bit of a preview of a trip that Catholic Way Bible Study will be going on over Thanksgiving and beyond into the first part of December. We are going to go on another pilgrimage to Israel. We've been before, and we just couldn't stand it, and we had to go back.
We just can't help ourselves, can we?
The Holy Land is such a beautiful place. Israel is an amazing place, and just being there, you know, of course you have all the complications of travel and all that stuff, but right now we have a map in front of us in the studio of the land of Israel, the way it looks today, and of all the various places that we're going to go. And just looking at this map, and it's a satellite map, so it's fairly accurate. Isn't it interesting, look, how Edom is red? It really is red.
It's red, right.
Right? Edom, Moab, you know, like if you're familiar with biblical stories, Edom means red.
Edomites.
Well, on the satellite picture, it shows red. I guess there's a lot of iron in those mountains. So we have it all spread out in front of us from the Lebanese border, the Golan Heights, the western border with Syria and with Jordan, and then the entirety of the land of Israel with, of course, the West Bank. You know, portions of the West Bank are, of course, under the Palestinian Authority. So we're going to be going, and we're going to be spending 3 nights in Galilee, 6 nights in Jerusalem, and 2 nights in Petra. Petra is a departure for us. It's a new thing that we did.
Right.
We didn't do it last time. But it's so beautiful, and it's such an amazing, I think, experience for everybody. Everybody who I mentioned that we're going to Petra, their eyes lit up, you know, because if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking, of course, about the view of the Nabataean ruins, the Nabataean kingdom. And if you don't know anything about that, if you've ever seen the Indiana Jones movies, it's in one of those Indiana Jones movies as the house of the immortal crusader knights who are guarding the Holy Grail.
And on that outside picture, that was the treasury there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think that's a picture that everyone's pretty familiar with.
Of the Nabataean kingdom, right. So we are going to arrive in Tel Aviv, and if you know anything about Israel, Tel Aviv is pretty much smack dab in the middle, and we're going to take the coastal line, the coastal road, and go coastal highway. I mean, you know, on this map we have got the highways, and we got the regional highways and the super highways, and then the local roads as well. We're going to go up to Caesarea. Caesarea is not Caesarea Philippi. It actually was called Caesarea Maritima, by the sea. And it was it's a first century Roman ruins, and obviously a modern city as well.
And that used to be the capital, too.
It used to be the capital, and it was the stronghold of, it was where the governor, people like Pontius Pilate and other people, would actually reside at Caesarea in a beautiful villa on the sea. And then come up to Jerusalem only for certain things like the high holy days, etc. Why? Because Jerusalem was far, it was rocky, it was small, it was hard to get to, and basically, you know, the difference between Caesarea and Jerusalem, when you actually go to Caesarea, you kind of get, oh yeah, I totally get why this guy lived in Caesarea, because he lived on a villa, beautiful villa on the sea. You know,
you could see the sea.
Exactly. Instead of living in a sort of a fortress-like mentality in the Antonia Fortress, which was hanging over the temple courts of the temple with a lot of hostile Jews who hate your guts.
Right.
You know, it's probably better, right?
Right.
So we're going to be in Galilee to begin
Can
with.
I make a comment about Caesarea?
Yeah.
When we were there the last time, the ruins that we visited, mm-hmm. it was an amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
And what was so astounding is you could stand in the center of the amphitheater and start talking, and you could hear all the way up in the stands.
Right.
It was just utterly amazing.
The acoustics.
Yes.
Most amphitheaters in antiquity were designed that way because of the lack of amplification, of course.
Right, but it worked. They knew how to do it.
They knew how to do it. So we are going to also visit Mount Carmel, if you know anything about Mount Carmel. It's funny because when you look at the map, you see that there are certain geographic formations. There are certain mountainous formations, but most of the mountains kind of like there's a plain, and then there's Mount Tabor.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another plain, and then there's Mount Carmel. And then there's another plain, and then there's Mount Gerizim. I mean, it's only up until when you get up to the Golan Heights where you have mountainous chains, or when you go down to Judea when you have the Judean mountains or hills or whatever they are, right?
Right.
So we're going to be going to Caesarea, like we said first. We're going to go to Mount Carmel. If you remember anything about Mount Carmel, you remember in 2 Kings It's the famous site of the confrontation between the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Jezebel. Jezebel, the daughter of the high priest of the Phoenicians, of, I think it was Sidon, Tyre or Sidon. Anyway, then we're going to be staying in a hotel in Tiberias. Tiberias is a bustling modern city on the shores of the Lake of Galilee. And when we're in Galilee, we're going to be visiting things like Cana. Remember Cana, Cana?
Mm-hmm.
Nazareth is in Galilee. We're going to be seeing the Basilica devoted to Mary. And we're going to be seeing Capernaum or Capernaum. And we're going to take a ride on the Sea of Galilee. And we're just going to do a whole bunch of stuff. You know, there we're going to go to Tabgha, go to the various churches. Now, the main thing that we learned last time, being on the ground in Jerusalem, that they don't tell you before you get there is most of the holy sites, the churches and the monasteries that were built on the holy sites were destroyed by the Muslim. There is not one, there's a couple of bits and pieces of original parts in some places, but for the most part, all the holy sites were destroyed by the Muslim invasions, by the Muslim invaders. And most of the churches in the Holy Land were built in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
So they're modern churches built mm-hmm. by Italian and French architects, which
right.
I thought was interesting,
mm-hmm.
at the behest of the Franciscan order, which is the custodial order of the holy sites. Right. So that's
right.
why there's that
Although
relationship.
Although some sites are shared.
Well, we're going to talk about, of course, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's a completely, that's a different
that's
deal.
That's a whole deal.
That's like the United Nations
yes,
of, a,
it is.
Of custodialship. So the Sea of Galilee was interesting because it's quite large and it's quite deep.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I mean, you can drive for miles mm-hmm. and still be along the sea. And, mm-hmm. and you know, on the other side is Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's there. You'll see mountains in the background. I remember before we went on the boat ride, we did go into a museum where we saw a replica
mm-hmm. of a first century boat. It wasn't a replica. It was the original thing that they dredged out of the mm-hmm. Sea of Galilee, mm-hmm. a boat that was a fisher boat that mm-hmm. looked like what it would have looked like in the first century.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no. It was the boat from the first century, but the point was this is what Peter and John and James
they had
boats
bits and pieces
probably
and
look like.
Did a restoration, I mean, of something that, how it wouldn't look complete.
It had gotten trapped in marshy land and
yeah,
had been preserved that way
mm-hmm.
as in many ways. So I think that we're going to have mass at all these places, which is also exciting.
And, you know, some of the masses are outdoors,
mm-hmm.
which is lovely on these mm-hmm. sites because you get all the scenery and it's hard to explain. You really have to experience it. But it's a powerful thing to be walking along these pathways and know that, you know, who's walked here. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're at the sites where all these things happen. This is not make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
This really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, when the Sermon on the Mount in particular, where you're standing on that high hill
mm-hmm.
and you can look down and you can see the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
And you can almost imagine people sitting down
mm-hmm.
because, again, the acoustics
mm-hmm.
were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spoke, people could hear you. And
mm-hmm.
I could see all these people gathered there
mm-hmm.
in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lovely outdoor mass
mm-hmm.
there. And it's you know, it's so rewarding. And the other part of going on this trip is that when we're there, that we can be praying for everybody that's back here,
mm-hmm.
for all the intentions that we have and intentions that people share with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, at each individual site.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's not just us. We're taking a slew of other people with us in spirit.
Well, and two things. Another thing is we get to pray all the mysteries of the rosary
mm-hmm.
at the places where they occurred, except for obviously the coronation of the Blessed Virgin in heaven. We can't pray that
can't
one quite
that.
Yet. And the Assumption, although we will be going to the Church of the Door
Mission. Yes.
Which is the Greek Orthodox way of styling the Assumption. Same
right.
thing, right?
Right?
That she fell asleep. And another thing is we also, some people have given me little prayers in little wadded up pieces of paper for us to put in the
right.
cracks of the Wailing Wall.
Right.
As a print.
That is a really special place to go to.
I'm really looking forward to that. So from our 3 days in Galilee, before we leave, we're going to go up to the Golan Heights, which is the border between Syria, Israel, and Lebanon. And in the Golan Heights, there is the location of the famous ancient city of Caesarea Philippi, which was devoted to Philip, the tetrarch of the land at that point, one of the grandsons of Herod. And it was a way to curry favor, obviously, to the current monarch. And so Caesarea Philippi was built on the Banias, what is today called Banias or Panias, which is a shrine to the god Pan, which happened to be on top of some very deep springs. And when you get there, you'll arrive and there's this huge, ginormous rock, black,
huge
red rock, which is about 60 feet tall and 100 feet wide. I mean, it's pretty darn ridiculously big, right? And it what I thought was interesting was that in Matthew 16, when Jesus tells Peter, you are the rock, and on this rock, he's doing it supposedly while he's standing in front of the rock in Caesarea Philippi, because the clues and the context are that they're in Caesarea Philippi, and that even if they're not standing right in front of the rock, that rock is very much prominent in that place, right? And so I thought that was that's always a good visual to see that the rock of the ancients, of the underworld, of the god Pan, of the pagan gods, is never going to be able to stand before the rock upon which the church is founded, Peter.
And there's a whole area where you can walk. We were climbing all over different places, and actually I brought a few pebbles back with me.
No, really?
Yeah.
Surprising the Israeli people let you you through.
Nothing was said.
Because there's some pretty severe security there, as you might imagine. El Al is the most secure airline in the world, and Tel Aviv Airport has got to be the most secure airport in the world. It's pretty amazing. They do everything but x-ray your underwear.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Living. We are continuing and just giving you a little bit of a preview of the trip that we're about to take over Thanksgiving and actually right after Thanksgiving into the first part of December in Israel, the land of the Bible. A couple of considerations. We were talking about the security at the airport and the security in the airlines. You know, several people wanted to come but were scared, unquote. We've been there. And we've been there when maybe awful things were happening in Syria and Lebanon, and maybe awful things were happening in the West Bank. But the point is, don't go to Lebanon and Syria, and don't go to the West Bank. Stay on the itinerary of the tour that you're on, and you will be fine. No tourists have been killed. No tourists have been blown up. No tourists have even been harassed, really, in Israel, as far as the time goes back.
Right.
You know,
at the Wailing Wall, that was one of the spots. You will see these young men with machine guns and everything, you know, security people. And there's a lot of security people that you don't know are there at all these different sites. But I can remember having my picture taken with them. You know, they were very happy to do that. But clearly, it's the places that we visit, there haven't been any issues at all.
No. Just stay on the beaten track. I mean, I would give you the same advice if you were going to New Orleans or if you were going to New York. Stay on the beaten track. Don't go, you know, in at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then the bad places.
But you don't go out at night by yourself or any of that. But during the day, in groups, you are perfectly fine.
Don't even go to a nightclub in West Jerusalem. But see, we're not going to be going to West Jerusalem. We're going to be staying at the Notre Dame Retreat House run by the Legionnaires, which is a beautiful facility right across. And the reason I selected it was because it was right across from the Jaffa Gate, from the gate into the Old City. Most pilgrimages stay down the hill in the fancier hotels like the King David, Hilton, and so forth.
Right.
But you know what? If it's a pilgrimage, I don't really care about the fancy hotel. I don't want to have to take a cab to go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I want to just walk across the street.
We walked across the street and walked over to the Holy Sepulchre in different areas of the Old City.
That's right.
It's very easy to do from
there.
And
that's why we did it. And last time I went, I brought my children, who were 15 and 12 at the time, And they would get up in the morning and just cross the street, the two of them, and go to, because in the old city, there's the souk, there's the bazaar. You know, so it's a fascinating open and closed air market.
Have you
ever been to
Istanbul?
It's very similar to that souk as well. So just beautiful. So we're from Galilee. We're going to be taking the bus, and it's only a couple hour ride to go down the Jordan Valley. We kind of parallel the Jordan River. We stop at Yardenit, which is the place where in the Jordan where people can renew their baptismal vows if they like. It's very suggestive. And then we come into Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, we'll be, of course, visiting all the holy places in Jerusalem, but we will also be visiting, I think this is interesting, Qumran and the Dead Sea, which I think is always fascinating.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You know, remember, the water originates in the Sea of Galilee. It's runoff water, right? It's rainwater. And it goes down the Jordan River, and it dead ends into the Dead Sea. But because of all the gardening and all the, you know, all the use of the water, the Dead Sea is contracting.
Right. It's not getting the water flow.
It's not getting the water flow it used to. And so that's, you know, I suppose a subject of concern.
But it's so fascinating because the water feels oily. Mm-hmm. Remember? And honestly, there are people in that water and you float.
Yeah.
Totally float because of all that salt in the water.
Right. And the foam is like greasy foam on top, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, we don't want to sound like it's not attractive. It's actually quite beautiful.
Yeah.
But it didn't really call my name or anything like that. You know, it's just interesting.
We waded in. I remember that.
We waded, but my children swam.
Yes.
And
there were several people
swam.
That changed into bathing suits.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anyway. So that's beautiful. Qumran, of course, we're going to be seeing at the Dome of the Book. Not the Dome of the Book. Yeah, the Dome of the Book. We're going to be seeing the scrolls of the prophet Isaiah. We're going to be seeing some of the scrolls of Qumran.
Right.
We're going to be seeing Qumran itself, which was very interesting. The day
very
we went
interesting.
To Qumran, right? We even went
it's
to...
something like out of a Star Wars movie. You know, the topography.
Deserted planet,
yes.
Red planet,
yes.
You know, that kind of thing, yeah. It was very interesting. In Jerusalem, of course, we're going to visit Ein Kerem, which, of course, is the site of the visitation where Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth. We're going to go to the Mount of Olives. That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh.
Those olive trees are thousands of years old. And it's an enclosed garden maintained by the Franciscans. And they watch you like hawks.
Yes, they
do.
You
can't go too close to the trees, and you can't go too close to the gardens, and you have to keep moving. You can't stop.
Well, there's a gate around the the trees, but they allowed us to go through where we could walk in the paths.
But we had to keep moving. Remember, we couldn't stop. We had to keep moving, keep moving the whole group.
But think of how old those trees are. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, it was something.
I know. So that was really cool. And then we're, of course, going to do the old city with the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Now, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, I thought, was kind of cool because it's in the old city. It's a crusader structure erected all over the old Constantinian church with a lot of other things in the middle. Obviously, it was destroyed. It was rebuilt, destroyed, rebuilt. If you don't read the history of these things, destroyed, rebuilt. Then there was an earthquake. Then you rebuild it.
There's still that ladder outside that's been there for how many years now? They're fighting over who owns the ladder and who can move it.
Well, and also there are actually three main faith denominations, Catholics, Greek Orthodox, and Armenians?
I forgot.
And then there's two minor,
right.
Abyssinians and Coptic or something like that.
Right.
There's basically five different faiths that contend the right to scrub two steps. Like there's like one step leading into the church and there's another step. Then there's like a flight of stairs going up. So like we have the right to clean the floor up until the step, but then you have the right to clean this first step, and then you other group have a right to clean this other step. So it's quite a jurisdictional feat. And there are two Arab families. One of them has the hereditary use of the keys to the basilica, to the church. And the other one has the right to open the church with the keys. So every morning and every night they pass this ladder through and they unlock the church from... So the church, the family with the key passes the key in to the family who has the right to turn the key. So they turn the key, they open the basilica, they make the ladder disappear.
And you can go over at night and watch them do that.
It's very, very complicated. But in any case, it's very interesting because it's all the foibles.
Yes.
You know, it's humanity. Nothing is ever streamlined, especially in the Orient, you know, forget
right.
it, you know, especially in the Middle East, right? But all together, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is called so because of the fact that it was built on the supposed burial site of the Lord. Because at the time that even Helena, Constantine's mother, became aware of this site, there was a pagan temple built over it. So in a way, Hadrian, the emperor who did all this, did Helena a favor because he put these pagan temples right on top of where the site was. And everybody knew that's where the site was. So
exactly.
All she had to do was knock down the pagan site and build this beautiful Constantinian Basilica, which of course, you know, is not there anymore. So it's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre because as you come in, there's a steep flight of stairs going to your right, and you go to Mount Calvary. So the idea is it's built on an outcrop of Mount Calvary where Jesus died. So at the time, it was outside the city of Jerusalem,
exactly.
Right? Built on a quarry, which is also very interesting because that would have been typical of where they would have built a place like that, on a crossroads and a quarry, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you go up to Mount Calvary, which is just a couple of some stairs.
And you had Mass right there.
And you have Mass right mm-hmm. there, and there's some incredible art, and you get to kiss the place under the altar. And then if you go down the stairs and you go straight, there's a big flat stone, which is called the Stone of Unction, which is where the body is considered
yes.
to have been anointed. And then you bear left and you go into the Basilica proper. And there is another little church building looking thing right there, square in the middle. And that is where the sepulcher is supposed to be,
right.
Where the burial
right.
place.
And you kind of crawl in there.
And it's two rooms,
mm-hmm.
very small, only two
mm-hmm.
or three people can
two
be
people,
in there at
yeah.
the same time.
But, you know, on Mount Calvary, remember there was it a Coptic or someone was sitting in a chair
mm-hmm.
because they controlled that particular
right.
area.
Yeah,
and there's
yeah.
all sorts of these icons and all these
yeah.
Candles hanging and
ceiling,
oh my gosh,
yeah.
it's just amazing to see this.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
You know, it's just, and you want hundreds of years this stuff has been there.
I know, right?
And it hasn't
and
changed.
What I remember is the little building that covers the burial place. The front two rooms are controlled, I think, by the Greek Orthodox. But then you go back, you go around, in the back of the building, there's this 6-foot by 4-foot little chapel that's controlled by the Armenians.
Uh-huh.
So when you go in, there's this Armenian priest who looks at you kind of like underneath his eyebrows, kind of like, what do you want? You know, I'm like,
right.
well, I don't know. I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know. And then in the back behind, there's like grottos. Remember,
right.
there were caves.
Right.
And that's considered the burial place of Joseph of Arimathea as well. Anyway, just fascinating. We could go on forever and ever. Another place I thought was beautiful was Bethlehem.
Oh, yeah.
Bethlehem, the Church of the Nativity. Now, again, the Church of the Nativity is one of those original structures which was destroyed, rebuilt, etc. But always preserving the sense of the place, you know.
Yes.
And so that is another beautiful place where it's really worth going. It's huge, and it's really crowded. And I don't know if I recommend, you know, trying to spend a lot of time there, but it's always a good idea to go and take a look. I don't know if we'll have our farewell dinner there in Bethlehem like we did last time, but I'm imagining we'll have it somewhere, right?
Right.
Then after doing all of Jerusalem, we're going to hopefully also do the Via Dolorosa. The Via Dolorosa is about 650 yards completed by our Lord carrying his cross, supposedly, from the Antonia Fortress to Calvary outside the walls. And so I don't know if we'll have an opportunity to carry individual wooden crosses like we did last time, but it was
are we going to the same place where Jesus was the night before, where he was kind of in that dungeon?
Yes, that was the high priest's palace, and that'll be part of what we do in Jerusalem. It just depends on whether we're going to be able to get it. The house of Caiaphas was basically mm-hmm. where it gives you an idea of the dungeon where Jesus was.
That just broke my heart to think that because there was water down there, and they would hang the people, and they would mm-hmm. just kind of be mm-hmm. partially in that water.
Absolutely.
Ugh.
And then after that, we pick up sticks, and we go to Petra, which is a tourist thing to do. It's not really a pilgrimage part, but I think it's kind of cool. Herod was an Abatean. He was an Edomite. There's a lot to be said for that kind of history as well. And then after that, we will go back to Tel Aviv and return. So please pray for us as we go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We will pray certainly for all of you all, for Breadbox Media, for Catholic Way Bible Study, and for all the ministries of the Diocese of Lexington and beyond. Thank you for joining us.